We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land in which we work and live, and recognize that their continuing connection to the land, water, and community is part of their heritage. We pay respect to elders past, present, and emerging.
Welcome to Mama Beaties, a podcast for women with type 1 diabetes by women with type 1 diabetes. Join us every Thursday as we navigate through pregnancy, birth, and motherhood whilst living well with type 1 diabetes. The experiences shared on this podcast are not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice and should not be relied on as health or personal advice. Please seek the guidance of your treating team before making any changes to your diabetes or pregnancy care. We are your hosts Ashley, Rachel and Carly, and this is Mama Beaties. In this introductory episode, we will talk about why we started the podcast, what kind of topics we will cover, and what sort of segments you can look forward to hearing in the weekly podcasts.
So we wanted to start off by letting you know why we started this podcast. And this podcast is a brainchild of Ashley. So I'm going to ask you, Ashley, why did you decide to start the podcast?
Thanks, Carly. So the podcast really kind of came about when I was newly pregnant. I already listened to a lot of podcasts at work just because I do like a lot of noise in the background. And when I was listening to some pregnancy podcasts, they were giving good information on pregnancy, but I found that I wasn't really able to connect on the same level as maybe other people would have, because there was additional kind of issues that I was dealing with related to having type 1 diabetes. So I was kind of talking to my husband about it in the car one day and about how I felt that I wasn't getting all of the information that I needed out of these podcasts. And I mean, we do have our online community, which is great. But I did kind of want something that spoke more to me. So I talked to him for a bit and he agreed, and he kind of said it was a good idea to look at starting a podcast. So I thought about it for a little bit, and then I eventually built up the courage and popped a post out on our Bump Baby and Beyond online support group. And then that's how yourself, Carly and Rachel decided to join me.
Well, I'm super excited about it, just because this is something that didn't exist kind of when I was pregnant with my two kiddos, and I am on the same wavelength. I listen to a lot of podcasts and a lot of kind of different avenues to get information about pregnancy, but the same thing is that there wasn't that tailor-made for me as a diabetic, and other things that people thought were important weren't necessarily high up on the importance list as a diabetic. So I'm really excited to kind of try and share a little bit more information with other mamas like me.
Yeah, I agree with Carly, and this is Rachel here. I think what's really exciting about this podcast in particular is that it's made by the community for the community as well. A lot of resources for women with diabetes for pregnancy and planning is from purely from the perspective of professionals or researchers. And I struggled finding information that was from other women with diabetes about their experience. And hopefully this will be a resource that we will continue to add to, and we'll get feedback from the community so that everyone can benefit.
Awesome. Well, going off on that, there's so much that we want to cover in this podcast. There's so many topics and so many ideas that we want to share with the community and share with other women who are in the same position as us. And there's kind of just too much and it's all over the place. So what we've decided to do is put it all into three distinct seasons, hosted by two of us at a time. So you don't get too lost in whose voices you're hearing or too much information thrown at you. So the first season of our podcast will be based on pregnancy, where you'll get to follow along with Ashley and Rachel. The second is going to be covering the early months of motherhood with Rachel and myself. And then the third, we'll be moving into what it's like parenting a little person and beyond, where I'm going to be rejoined by Ashley after she's had a bit of time getting used to being a mama herself. So there's going to be all kinds of topics. So can I maybe ask Rachel, what do you think are some of the topics that you'll cover in season one?
Yeah, so season one is exciting. It's all about the pregnancy journey. And of course, as we know, with diabetes, the journey to pregnancy it's not just from the get-go, there's so many things to consider. So we'll be looking at things to consider before pregnancy, so pre-pregnancy planning. We're looking at then moving into the typical pregnancy symptoms and what you could expect, different methods of the birth and delivery process, topics such as working whilst you're pregnant and with diabetes and navigating that. Also looking at rural and regional care in pregnancy and preparing for birth. And we're hoping to have a lot of special guests along the episodes with us so we can learn lots.
It's Ashley
speaking here. I'm really excited in season one because obviously I'm newly pregnant at the moment. So a lot of season one, as we go through it, I'll be kind of taking that at the same time. So I'll be learning from Rachel and from yourself, Carly, as well, as we go through season one about how I can better deal with my type 1 diabetes in my pregnancy, and hopefully get a lot of tips from yourselves and also from the listeners. That would be great.
And it will be nice as well for those of us who have had children recently to kind of reflect back on the pregnancy experience, because I think a lot of the times, once we've had the kids, it kind of, you forget it, which on one hand can be a good thing because it makes you think, oh, maybe I can have more children.
But that's why I had two kiddos in 2 years. but I definitely agree. Like, it's going to be a huge experience, I guess, for Ashley and for all of us, but to be going through it all together in season one. So in season two, when it's Rachel and I, Ashley's going to be a little bit busy with a little person. So she's going to be popping in and out and just kind of running around like a bit of a chicken with its head cut off, but that's okay. So in season two, you're going to hear about different birthing experiences from hopefully as many people in the community as we can. You're going to hear about our three experiences. You'll be able to hopefully hear from some partners' perspectives on how to care for a person with type 1 diabetes after they've had a baby, public and private care, the differences you can expect, as well as caring for yourself in the fourth trimester, because I know it's obviously so important to care for your little bub, but we tend to, as mums, naturally just put ourselves on the back burner, which is not the best choice for a woman with type 1 diabetes ever, let alone when you've got to care for another human as well.
Mm.
So that's going to be, I think, a really important time for everybody who's listening and those who are like us who are participating to kind of remember what we did to look after ourselves and hopefully get some more advice for new mamas or pregnant mamas out there.
Absolutely.
And in season three, Ashley, when you come back, what do you think we'll have to talk about there?
I'm really kind of excited for season three because I'm hoping that, you know, with my little bubba, that I would have had a bit of time to connect and to learn how to be a bit of a mum. So I think we'll talk about things like breastfeeding, about contraception after you've had your baby, if you're not ready for a second one yet, or even if you don't think you want another one, about body changes, which I think will be kind of, you know, a recurring topic. It will happen all throughout pregnancy, but in the postpartum period as well. How to manage sick days, and, you know, various things that might happen as a mum with your children that normally you wouldn't think that would cause such an issue. But with type 1 diabetes, even just, you know, talking to your child about type 1 diabetes, how to deal with their reactions and what they think of your type 1 diabetes, or how to deal with stressful situations, because all of that can play into your self-care and your management and, you know, how well you feel. And I guess I do want to feel the best that I can when I'm caring for my baby.
Mm.
But I'm really, really interested to see how you deal with everything, Carly, because you've got two little ones who are quite close in age.
They are. And there's just a lot of caffeine in my house. That's how I deal with two under two. But that's okay, because I will go exactly off what Rachel said before. You do kind of forget, and then you go, oh, I could probably do this again. And then we did. And it was like, oh my God, we did. So I'm excited to share my experience, because I got so much information from our community, which kind of helped me get in the mindset of wanting to have another baby.
That's it. Yeah.
And I think that's part of the reason I've gotten through as a human, is our community. So I'm excited to be a part of something that we get to share back with our community.
Yeah. And I know we're looking to hear from our community. So anyone that wants to be a special guest is more than welcome to reach out to us. And part of season three is that we're very eager to hear from women with diabetes whose children also have diabetes. I think that's going to be really useful as well.
Definitely. So as we move forward in our podcast, it's not just going to be us yarning the whole time. We are really excited to get special guests in from our community, but also actual healthcare professionals to come in and share their side of the story, because I know that sometimes we get a little bit lost. So I'm just wondering, I know that Rachel has a fair bit to share about this. So if you could just jump in and talk to us about our healthcare professional guests, that would be great.
The healthcare professional guests. So yes, I will talk about this a bit more when we share our stories, but full disclosure, I am doing a PhD, which is based on diabetes and pregnancy at the moment. And through that, we're hoping to get some special guests who are really at the forefront of doing research for diabetes and pregnancy to see that we can have as many positive outcomes and success stories for women with diabetes who want to be on that journey and want to have children. So we have lined up quite a few endocrinologists and obstetricians who we're hoping to have join us over the next couple of weeks in particular. And we've also got members of our community who also are working in healthcare and may also be diabetes educators that are willing to share their stories and also, give us a perspective that's professional, but also they can share their journey within the community as well.
Perfect. So I just want to put out there that if you are someone who is listening to our podcast and you would like to share your story or share your experience, the best way to do that is to email us at mamabeaties.podcast@gmail.com. So you'll find that email address posted on our Twitter, on our Facebook and our Instagram, which we'll talk to you about later. But please include your return contact details and what part of your story or what it is that you want to share. And also, if you don't want to share with your name, like, we are more than happy to share your story anonymously and read it out and just kind of provide that information back to the community if you'd like to keep yourself unidentified, or you can join us as a guest if we can line it up, because we do not know everything. I cannot stress that enough.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we want other people to share their stories as well, so that we can get a whole community, a well-rounded perspective of what diabetes in pregnancy, bump, baby and beyond looks like in real life. So now I guess we're just going to talk a little bit about ourselves, and because Ashley, this is your brainchild, I'm going to ask you to go first and tell us all about you and who you are as a person and what you do for the rest of your life.
Thanks, Carly. That sounds kind of daunting to think about the rest of my life. I might skip that. But who am I as a person? So I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when I was, I'm going to say 22 years old. Yes, that would be right. So I've had diabetes for 8 years now, which I realize is kind of a little bit later in life than most people with type 1 diabetes, but not still unusual. I think it's 50% of people with type 1 are actually diagnosed after the age of 18, if I have my statistics correct. So not that late. I was actually working for an endocrinologist when I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I was
convenient.
Typing up the letter of a girl who'd just been diagnosed, and I was like, I have every single symptom that I am writing down here. So
rather than going to Dr. Google and WebMD, looking up and going, oh, worst case scenario, okay, do I buy a coffin? You know,
yeah.
You had the expert right there.
I did, but I didn't tell her though. So I knew that I had every symptom, but I think I was really kind of in denial, like having had worked for her for, I think, about 5 months at that point. I feel I did piece it together and I kind of knew, but I didn't want it to be real. Yeah. So I just kind of sat on my symptoms until they got so bad that I was literally falling asleep at my desk at work. And then I used to catch the bus home. I would fall asleep on the bus. I'd get home. I'd go straight back to bed as soon as I got home. I'd wake up for dinner and then I'd go back to sleep again. So I kind of let it get to probably a worse level than it should have, before I went and saw my GP, who then ordered some tests and called me into his office and said, well, why didn't you tell me you had diabetes?
Mm.
And I said, I don't. And then ended up in hospital, but it was the same hospital that the endocrinologist that I worked for had privileges at. So, so she came and saw me, took me out straight away and gave me education straight away. So I think I had a really good kind of start to my type 1 diabetes in terms of what I already knew from having worked for an endocrinologist and just having that close contact with her, where she was pretty much checking in with me every day to make sure that I was okay.
Oh, wow.
How did you feel as an adult, as a 22-year-old?
Yeah, I think it's different. I felt very lonely, I guess, when I was first diagnosed, because none of my family had an understanding of it. My little brother stopped speaking to me because he was afraid that it, you know, that somehow I would pass it on to other people.
It was contagious. Wow.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know, or if it was just too much of a shock for him, so he just didn't speak to me for a while. Mm. My family were very upset and I couldn't really have conversations with them without them crying. Mm. So then I felt bad to talk about how I felt. So it was, I think, a very isolating time in that I didn't have the understanding of my family that maybe somebody who is diagnosed at a younger age did. I mean, that being said, I'm glad that I did have a few extra years of life without type 1.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would have dealt with it well when I was younger. And I think getting it at an older age and in the situation that I was in meant that I could probably come to terms with it a little bit easier, and I could probably see that it wasn't the end of the world.
Mm.
Wow. Do you remember what life was like without diabetes? That's my favorite thing to ask people.
No. Yeah. So even though I was diagnosed as an adult, I don't at all. I'm like, what? There was a life before this?
I'm always interested in hearing that, because I was diagnosed at a very young age, and hearing people who are diagnosed when you're an adult, you kind of feel like for some it's their whole life turned upside down, that's losing their independence. So yeah, no, it's very interesting to hear that perspective, Ashley.
Yeah, I think I probably would have expected to remember more of life. Like, I remember what I did as a kid, but I don't remember eating food without counting carbs, or I don't remember not taking insulin or checking my BGLs. So I guess it's maybe your brain just compartmentalizes it a little bit into just, this has always been happening, so that you don't feel bad that it is happening, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Now, when you were diagnosed, what were your, I was going to say weapons of choice, probably devices of choice is a better word. Did you start with injections, or did you go to a pump, or?
I did start with injections, but I did not deal with them well. Oh my gosh, I don't know how people pre-pumps did it. Like, I know they would have had to have done it. I did it for a little while, but I think I threw a tantrum pretty much straight away, walked into my endo's office and said, you need to put me on a pump now, or I'm not doing these injections. So I got a pump within 3 months.
Awesome. Oh, that's really good.
I actually remember, Ashley and I met quite a few years ago, just doing some work with diabetes. And you were telling me about when you went to Japan, and how you were basically a non-diabetic because you were riding your bike everywhere when you were still in the honeymoon period.
That's so true. Yes, when I was. I was another thing about me is that I love travel.
Me too.
And I can't imagine my life without travel. So, yeah, I was. I was still in honeymoon period, and we went to Japan for a three-week trip, and there were days where I didn't take a unit of insulin in either basal or bolus.
Wow.
Because we would take a bike and just ride around the whole day, or we'd just be walking around the whole day, and I would still manage to have hypos without insulin on board at all.
Gosh.
It was nuts.
Magic.
I mean, that doesn't happen anymore. It's very sad, but I guess that's what the end of honeymoon does. So that's my diabetes story.
That's
brilliant. And I guess, what is your
mother's
story then?
Yes, that is an important part. So I guess my husband and I started looking at having children early last year. But then when we started having a look at expanding our family, there was a few things we wanted to finish first. So we went and did the Inca Trail last year, which then meant that we had to hold off on having a baby for a little while because there is Zika virus over in Peru. Mm-hmm. So we did have some waiting period to do once we got back to Australia. And then I started a new job. So it did get held up for a little while. So at the start of this year, I really kind of knuckled down, made sure that everything was fine. And then with the permission of my, oh, not permission, but with the blessings.
Blessing, of, yeah.
Yes, yeah. I mean, they can't tell you whether or not you can have a baby, but it's good to have them on your side.
So,
at the start of this year in February, we started trying for a baby. And luckily for us, it happened first go. So now I am 11 weeks and 3 days pregnant. So really looking forward to that second trimester and hoping some of these symptoms start to go away.
Yeah.
But that's something I think we'll cover in another topic because I could speak for hours on that. And that's where I'm at so far. So I'm really kind of looking forward to going through with yourselves, Rachel and Carly, to see how you guys dealt with everything. Because everything is completely new to me.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting though. This is one of the best parts of this is that, as I'm sure everyone will find out in the next kind of little few minutes when Rachel and I talk as well, we're all in very different...
stages.
Yeah, stages. Yeah. And we're all on different paths in motherhood. So, yeah, I think that's the exciting part is that we're not kind of all doing it at the exact same time together, which can also be fun, but I think that it's exciting that we're all in different stages of motherhood. So
yeah I agree
That note, I think I'm going to throw to you, Rachel, and I'm going to get you to tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right, well, hello. So my name is Rachel, as you would already know. So yeah, where do I start? I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes in kindy. So as a 5-year-old, and yeah, I remember bits and pieces of it. I remember for me, it was kind of exciting because I got to be in hospital and get all these cool presents from my classmates. But at the same time, I had to have needles, and the first needle they tried to give me of insulin, I actually kicked the doctor in the face. So that was fun. But yeah, it was a really interesting time because I remember I was so tired, I was so thirsty, and my poor mum was kind of racking her brain to try and figure out what was going on. And as soon as they got me to the GP, GP's like, just get her in the car, drive straight to the hospital. And from there on, funnily enough, I have stayed at the same hospital where I received treatment for my diagnosis to... now.
Wow, that's a really long time.
Yeah, my patient file has 3 volumes now, I believe. And funnily enough, 2 of those volumes were from Pregnancy and Beyond. So
so
I started out on injections, and based on my kicking doctors in the face, I had a fear of needles for so long, and it took me until I think year 6 for me to inject on my own before that.
Wow.
But it was thanks to diabetes camps. So shout out diabetes camps. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. There were some very patient diabetes educators there who sort of really worked with me. It was, I think, a mind over matter thing. But from there on in, I injected. But then in high school, I got onto a pump in time for my HSC. I was very against pumps at the start because I didn't want to have something attached to me all the time, but my endo kind of convinced me and I jumped on it in the end, and I've been on them since. I also have celiac disease, which I got diagnosed with in 2011. And then I also have a condition called necrobiosis lipoidica diabeticorum, or NLD for short. It's a kind of rare one. It's an immune condition that some people with diabetes may have. Diabetes may not be the cause. They're kind of unsure as to what happens with it, but you basically get ulceration of the skin and scarring in certain places, and the skin gets trauma. So I have a big, big scar on my leg that looks like, I don't know, a shark bite maybe, you know. But yeah, it's all good. Yeah, it's things that happen. It's a scar. It's all good. So yeah, bits of everything there. Now, like Ashley, I love traveling as well. So I have a background as a musician. So I did a lot of touring overseas in orchestras. I also, one of my undergraduate degrees was in Japanese. I've studied abroad in Japan and done lots of personal travel as well. It's totally doable with diabetes. And yeah, I'd love to now, but now I have a kid and a mortgage. So, you know, I don't know when that will be happening next. And I also have this other big baby, which is I am doing a PhD. So I had my first baby, William, 10 months ago now. And that was a journey itself. It was 5 years of hard work with my diabetes team and my endocrinologist for us to get there. And everything in my pregnancy went relatively smoothly, but we can talk more about that at a later time. But yeah, I am doing a PhD looking at consumer perspectives in pregnancy. So I'm looking at interventions to improve outcomes in pregnancy for women with diabetes. And I'm looking at that through approaches such as peer support, social media, social marketing and communications. So I'm probably very keen to talk more with you, Ashley, about peer support models.
I know, I just heard that buzzword and I was like, I need to I need to be involved in this more.
And that's pretty much, I think that's mainly it in a nutshell, really. I don't really have much spare time. I'm a mum that's doing a PhD, so hey.
I don't know how you can manage that. I am not a mother yet and I can't even manage to fold my clothes. So kudos to you.
Let's not get started on clothes folding. That's not happening. But like Carly, there's a lot of caffeine in this house. So
yes.
That's probably my problem. I don't like caffeine.
I didn't like caffeine until I became a mum.
Yes.
So you might convert you to the dark side yet, Ashley. You never know. Well, I
guess. What about yourself, Carly?
Awesome. That falls to me. So my name is Carly. I am 25 and a mum of two in two. So I have a beautiful little girl named Isabel who has just turned two it was 2 months ago, but it feels like yesterday. So she's two and I have a beautiful little boy named Noah who is 6.5 months old. I also have another child, 27-year-old Drew, who's my husband. And we have a rescue named Carson, who's almost three. So my life very happily is my family. Mm. I am a teacher by trade. So I am a primary school teacher. And for the last few years, I have been on kindergarten. So my life is high energy all the time.
Oh, wow.
So between my kiddos at home and my kiddos at school, I feel like the Energizer Bunny. I'm like, go, 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 from the minute I wake up to the minute I go to bed, which is totally fine with me. I actually shared on our Instagram page this week that my life runs on the three C's, concealer, caffeine, and chaos, which I think describes me in a nutshell.
Oh, hell yes. Yeah, yes, that's so amazing.
I have been a diabetic since 2003, since I was 8 years old. I was diagnosed at the start of the school holidays when I was in year four. I'm pretty sure it was the October holidays, which was pretty crappy, if we're being honest. That was not how I was expecting to spend my school holidays. But I was in a really lucky position that my dad's partner at the time, she was a person with diabetes. So my symptoms kind of got a little bit further, a bit like Ashley. I think that my dad and his partner may have been in a little bit of denial because they just couldn't fathom that it could be real, if that makes sense. So yeah. I was so tired. And initially it was put down to the fact that I was waking up so much in the night to go to the toilet and drink water. And a lot of Carly, go to bed, Carly, stay in bed kind of thing was happening. So that kind of explained away one thing. And I lost a lot of weight for a child at the time. But that got put down to the fact that I was like playing sports and netball and things like that. So I think that my family kind of tried to explain away the symptoms that they saw. And then it just got to a point where my dad's partner, he just said, bring her into the kitchen. I'm testing her sugar.
Mm.
We need to do this now. And it just came up as HI on her machine. And she just said, put her in the car, we're going to hospital.
Yeah.
So in we went, and I was very lucky. I only had to stay 2 days because they were like, you live with a person. off you go, she'll teach
you. Oh, wow.
Which was good because I think I responded better to her teaching me because I knew her. I lived with her than kind of a random person who I didn't know.
That's except it. You wouldn't kick her in the face as much.
No, definitely not. My biggest problem was people telling me what, like the carb counting. That was my issue as a child because I was like, excuse me, I want 8 2 biscuits.
Mm.
I ate 2 biscuits last week. Why can't I eat 2 biscuits this week? And then trying to kind of get our head around that. So when I was diagnosed, I was on a super fun mixture of Actrapid and Protophane, which I had to syringe into the Actrapid, pull it out, then put the syringe into the Protophane vial and pull that out and shake it up and then put it in myself. Which I don't know if our listeners or you girls have seen that beautiful BD Microfine poster that has what a needle looks like, no use, and then 1 use, 2 use, 5 use, 10 use.
Yes.
Yes. So when I saw that, I genuinely couldn't believe that doctors were saying, no, it's fine, stick it in this rubber vial and then stick it in another one and then stick it in yourself. That's fine for the needle. That's great. But yeah, that's what I remember. So I was on mixed injections through syringes for a few years. Then I think around when I hit puberty, I switched to a NovoRapid pen and a Protophane pen, which then, you know, switched out for another long acting. And I got my first insulin pump when I was in year 11. Like Rachel, just kind of in time for moving into senior school, into the HSC. And it was fantastic. One of the biggest things that we found was that I was having dawn phenomenon. So that huge rise in the morning, which I'm still having. Yep. And thanks to my beautiful insulin pump, we can control that no one can explain and we can't figure it out. And I was just waking every day feeling sick as a dog because my sugar was 15, 16, 19, 25, ridiculously high numbers. But I'd go to bed and my sugars would be 6 and it was great. So that insulin pump saved my life, both literally and figuratively, because I don't know how long I could have continued going on that way. And I haven't really ever looked back. There are some times that I have decided I need to be disconnected because I can't handle having it on me all the time. And then I go about 3 or 4 days and I go, oh, that's right. That's why I have an insulin pump.
Yeah.
That's why I have that thing attached to me all the time because of the control it gives me. And that's not the case for everybody. But for me, the pump is the way to go. It's the best way for me to control my diabetes. And it was the best way for me to get my diabetes in a place to have kiddos.
Yeah.
So I will never look back. I actually just last week got an upgrade. So I am living in the new 21st century because my old pump was about 8 or 9 years old and it wasn't waterproof and it only carried 2 mil of insulin, which wasn't good for someone who's insulin resistant like me. But I was changing it out all the time and it was a pain in my butt. So yeah, I just live on coffee and chaos, and I'm just super excited to be a part of this, to share kind of a different side. I've always been told by my healthcare professionals that they've never seen someone with diabetes like me, or that's so unusual for someone with diabetes to have this other problem as well. And I don't know how many times you can hear that before you think, what is wrong with me? What is actually wrong?
That's so, it. Yeah. And I mean, I completely understand where you're coming from, Carly, because I've almost had diabetes for 25 years. Gosh. And so many times I've heard, oh, your diabetes is so complicated and things like that. And I think for so long I fought against it being part of my identity, and I wanted to prove that it wasn't just all I was. So, I mean, in school I was a massive nerd and I wanted to be a high achiever and things like that. But then since having my son and starting his PhD, it's like, no, it's something that I feel very proud of, and it's something that we need to be more supportive of each other with. Like, we need to reach out and connect with other women with diabetes and let people know that they're not alone, and that this journey, this pregnancy journey, is totally doable.
100%. And I, unlike Rachel, had some very annoying pregnancies. So I have, which you'll hear about as the podcast moves on, but I did not have those picture perfect, glowing, it's all happy, it's all great. I did not like being pregnant. I loved my kiddos and I loved having my kiddos, but I really struggled with being pregnant and all the things that came with that, with my diabetes and just with those symptoms that never seemed to end for me and things like that. So I am very happy with my 2 and we are stopping there.
I feel really relieved to hear you say that, Carly, because I think I feel that very much the same way. Like, I'm still in first trimester, so I understand that the symptoms are, you know, particularly bad for some things around this time, but I can't say I'm enjoying it at all. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I don't know if I can do this again ever. I think I'll be one and done. It's really refreshing, I think, to hear somebody say that it doesn't have to be all roses, but that the end result is still worth it. Because I think in what I've noticed in the, particularly in the media, is that they do want to paint pregnancy as such a, you know, special magical time, and they only kind of talk about when you feel great. So they talk about, you know, the glowing skin and the energy and just, you know, how great you'll feel to have this life growing inside of you. And I think, I don't feel like that yet.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So it makes you feel a little bit like, is there something wrong with me?
And that's exactly how I felt, because the people that I did connect with who were pregnant at the same time as me didn't have diabetes.
Yes. But
they were who I connected with in our motherhood journey, and we've gone on to make a mother's group that is still going 2.5 years strong now. But being pregnant with diabetes, as I'm sure so many people who are listening will know, is hard.
Yes.
And it's okay that it's hard. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with the experience, but there's just a few extra things that we need to do that are a pain at the time.
Yeah.
And my diabetic educator actually said to me when I told her I was pregnant with my first baby, she's like, you're going to hate me by the end of this.
Mm.
She's like, you are not going to want to speak to me ever again, because I'm going to be on you as often as I need to be to make sure that this goes as smoothly as possible for you, because I'm here for you, but I'm here for your baby. And at the time I was like, what is she talking about? I'm going to do this easy. Like, I've got great control. And it's just things, that emotional state with pregnancy as well. That it was good to have her do that in the long term. I look back and I go, gosh, I'm glad Louise did that for me, because it meant that my kiddos were healthy when they were born. I was very lucky with my kiddos, and you'll find out about them later. But I was just stoked at the end of it all. I went, yep, she did exactly what she needed to do as a healthcare professional doing her job. And I didn't like her at the time, and that's okay. But I like her again now, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's great hearing that perspective from you and Ashley as well, that things were a bit tough at the start of your pregnancy. I mean, for me, I feel incredibly lucky, because my pregnancy actually was pretty good. It was pretty stress-free, as was my diabetes at the time. But I mean, we'll talk about this more in future episodes, but the journey to getting pregnant, and when I first got pregnant, I was extremely scared. I was scared of complications. I was scared of risks. But my endocrinologist fully believed in me and sat down and he said, we can do this. We're going to get through this. You're going to be fine. Your baby's going to be fine. And for me, whilst pregnancy was pretty good, the birth and also probably the first 12 weeks after is the hardest thing I've ever done. So I will share that story as well. But yeah, that was the difficult part for me.
I agree, though. That's so true, that everyone talks about getting you through your pregnancy and getting you a beautiful, healthy bub. And that's the case for so many of us. That we do get that happy ending, but it is then kind of that next 12 weeks, that fourth trimester, which I'm really excited to get to in that season three, that extra time where you do have to remember that you've just had a baby. Things don't go back to normal. So that time where you've got to get yourself okay, and you've got to look after yourself just as much as you've got to look after a little kiddo.
That's it. And it's an unexpected big spanner in the works with diabetes that nothing really prepares you for.
100%.
We won't talk about that much now and freak Ashley out at this stage. Sorry, Ashley, you're fine.
But on the flip side,
it's good to be forewarned.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I think I struggled with after, was that nobody told me, or I wasn't prepared for a lot of things towards after having my babies.
Absolutely.
We kind of focused so much and so heavily on that pregnant time. And then, not that you fall off, you know, the wagon, but it just kind of, after the baby, it was like everybody finally took a breath And I was like, oh, I don't have people here around me all the time, or I don't have all this, like, I don't know, hype around me. And you kind of figure it out for yourself, and that's fine. That's what you have to do. But it's just this big, like, oh, sigh of it's over, but it's not over.
It's a shock because you go from appointments to the 4 times a week to, oh, off you go, see ya. And you're like, wait, what? What am I doing?
Take a human with you. But yes, well, I think it's going to be really exciting to kind of hear our stories and hear other people's stories as well. Because I think joining, as Ashley said before, our baby and beyond community online is what rescued my sanity. I don't know about you ladies.
Yeah, me too. 100%.
Look, I don't think I would have had the confidence to probably deal with the early part of my pregnancy or even to consider pregnancy without that group. I think I am in a different group. So I'm in a due date group as well. And the things that they talk about are just basic. So not to say that in a mean way, but just it's really like one issue for them. They're like, oh, I've got morning sickness. This sucks. And I'm like, oh, I can't eat anything at all at the moment. I've lost 3 kilos so in 1 week. So my insulin rates have just been up, down, up, down, up, down all week. And I don't know, I can't talk to them about that, but I can talk to Bump Baby and Beyond about that. And somebody will come and tell me that it's, you know, it's hormones and I just have to find a different food. And I did, I found crepes. I will live on crepes. I can also eat pineapple.
Oh, brilliant.
Crepes and pineapple it is.
I said to my husband that my son Noah was going to be half pineapple because that was one of the only things I could keep down when I was pregnant with him for the 30 odd weeks that I was sick. I just eat pineapple all day, every day. And I remember laying on my bed crying once going, this baby's going to look like a pineapple.
Oh, man.
Like, okay, Carly, it's fine. It's fine. I was like, he's going to be yellow and spiky. And he kind of had to leave the room and just let me follow with whatever that emotional mess.
It's funny hearing that because Will would probably be a cucumber. I don't know what it was. It was cucumber for the whole of my pregnancy.
I'm definitely pineapple too, so I'm glad that Noah didn't come out as a pineapple. That's a little bit relieving to hear.
No, he
lived experience. Carly did not have a pineapple, so you're going to be okay, Ashley.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Okay, so Ashley, where to now?
So I think this kind of wraps up the first episode. We've introduced ourselves, and I think we've kind of set a good scene for, you know, what you listeners can expect coming up in season 1, 2, and 3. So I'm just going to do a really quick shout out to Rockadex. So I think all of us, all three of us, Carly, Rachel, and myself, we all use Rockadex.
Yes.
Yeah, their patches for CGM and insulin pumps are brilliant. I don't think my CGM would last at all without them.
I have to give a massive testimonial to them because since having Will, I can't do CGMs in my stomach anymore, and I kept trying to do them on my thighs and they weren't sticking down with the tapes and they were falling off and not reading right, and I was about to just chuck mine out the window or in the bin. But everyone online was recommending Rockadex tape, and I've been using them for 2 months and I haven't looked back. I haven't had a faulty sensor, touch wood. So yeah, these guys are the bomb.
Yeah, I agree.
I put my sensors on and both my kiddos are like, oh, mum, what's that? Let me pull it. Oh, I want to get my hand on that. So the Rockadex really seems to be toddler approved.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. It's sweat approved. So I took my CGM hiking on the Inca Trail, and you know, wherever I've hiked around the world as well. And normally when I do like a little bit of exercise, it just kind of peels straight off. And so it lasted, you know, 4 days without a shower on the Inca Trail and still sticking at the end. So.
These goods, they're the MVP. They are fantastic.
Rockadex have agreed to give us a code so that any listeners of Mama Beaties can use the code and get 20% off store-wide. We will share that link with you on our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So if you're wanting to get some Rockadex for 20% off, please pop over and do that. And then I think I might just hand to you, Rachel, for a close.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for joining us for our first episode of Mama Beaties. Make sure you subscribe to us wherever you listen to your podcast so you never miss an episode, and leave us a review so that others can find us too. Remember to follow us on Facebook, just search Mama Beaties, Twitter at Mama Beaties, or on Instagram at MamaBeaties_podcast. To reach out, please email us at mamabeaties.podcast@gmail.com. If during this podcast series you feel you need to reach out for additional support, please contact your usual treating team, PANDA's National Perinatal Anxiety and Depression Helpline on 1300 726 306 or Lifeline on 131114 outside of PANDA's operating hours. We look forward to talking to you again next week when we discuss stigma and diabetes with a special guest star joining us. See you next time.